All right, take your Bibles if you would, turn them to the book of James, James chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 19 and 20 for our scripture reading. James chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. Here's what the Bible says. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his ways shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you that we can meet about your word. Thank you that it's true. It's always true. And you've given it to us for our edification. You've given it to us so that we can grow as a Christian. And so I pray that you'd help us as we look at this passage, that you would speak to our hearts and our minds. You would help us do what this Bible verse says, that we would help each other stay on the straight and narrow way. Bless your word, for it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. I want to speak on the subject, restoring backsliders. Restoring backsliders. It says in that passage that we read, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his ways shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. That verse does not apply to the unconverted. It does not apply to those that are not saved. Notice what it says, brethren, if any of you. It's talking about Christians. It's talking to Christians, those that have received Christ, those that have trusted him, those that have admitted they were a sinner and understand there's a penalty for that sin and have come to Christ and seen Jesus as their Savior and have believed in him and put their faith in him and received him as their Savior and now have their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, now have their sins paid for, now can look forward to heaven. And so it's talking to those that have depended on the way, the truth, and the life to take care of their sins, to make them right with God and get them to heaven. That verse, does not apply to those that are not saved. It does not apply to hypocrites. It doesn't apply to those who say they are saved, those who might act like a Christian, those who might act and say that they've been born again, but have never been born again. You see, it's not our acts, it's not our works that make us a Christian. In Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So it's not talking to those that have worked for their salvation, but it's talking to those that have accepted the gift of salvation that God offers to every person. They've acted on the faith that God has dealt. The Bible says God deals to every man a measure of faith, enough faith to get saved. And it's talking to those that have received the grace that God offers to you. For by grace are ye saved. They've received the grace that God has offered to every person. So, those that have been saved. That's the subject of these two verses. Now, when it says, when any of you do err from the truth, it's talking to people that have been saved, but now have erred from the truth. They've gone back to their old way of life. They've gone back to the world. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. So Jesus is the truth. And so these are people who have been saved and have set out to get closer to the truth, get closer to Jesus, and for some reason have gotten off that path, have turned away from the truth, have turned back to the world. When you got saved, you were on a path, and that path led you toward Christ. And God talks about that path being a straight and narrow way. The gate is narrow that we come to Christ through, and then the way that we get on is straight and narrow as well. And God wants us to walk that path in truth to become more and more like Jesus. Now, that's opposed to the path the world walks. That's opposed to the path that the unconverted, the unsaved walk. God calls that way broad. And he says there's many people on that. But on this narrow path for Christians, on this narrow path for those that have received Christ, the Bible says there's few. And so when you got saved, God put you on that path. That path was a path of growth. That path was becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. And by the way, it's an individual path. The path that you walk is different than the path that your husband or wife or your children walk. It's a different path than I walk. We all have an individual path. We all have an individual plan for our life that God has designed. And that path will lead us to be more and more like Jesus. That's why in Hebrews chapter 12, the Bible says, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us," the race that God has set before us, "looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." God wants us to keep our eye on the goal. The goal is to become more and more like Jesus. And as sin creeps into our lives as Christians, he says, put it aside. Lay aside every weight. Things that might not be sin, that might hinder us from becoming more and more like Jesus. And lay aside the sin. It says, which does so easily beset us. There's some sins that are easy to get into our life. They may be sins that we had in our old way of life that come back. Or they may be sins that we don't think are big sins, and it won't hurt us because they're little sins. Where there's no such thing as a little sin and a big sin. God says to lay it all aside. Our objective, the path that we're on, takes us to be more and more like Jesus. That's why 2 Peter says in chapter 3, verse 18, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." God wants us to grow, to be more and more like Jesus Christ. That's why in Philippians chapter 3 it says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." So we're walking on this path that God has designed for us as an individual. We're following his plan for our life. We're following the truth. We're headed toward the truth. We're headed toward Jesus. And then something happens. We err from that truth. We stray from the way. We take a detour off of that path. And we turn away. Again, our eyes should be on Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Our eyes should be on the truth. But for some reason, we turn away from that truth. We go into the opposite direction. We veer to the side. Are we still saved? Yes, we're still saved. God gave me everlasting life. God gave me life eternal. My actions will not change that. If you have a child, your child may do something that disappoints you, that dishonors the family name. Maybe they go so far that you want to even disown them. But it doesn't change the fact. Their actions does not change the fact that they are still your child. When we become a child of God, that relationship is eternal. There is nothing that we can do to change it. But as a Christian, if I err from the truth, I need help in getting back on track. I need help in turning from the direction that I've turned away from the truth to get my attention back on the truth. And that's what these verses are talking about. "Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him," one help him get back on that path, one help him turn back toward the truth, "let him know that he which converteth the sinner," not an unsaved sinner, but a saved sinner, "from the error of his ways, shall save a soul from death." And that's not talking about eternal death. I'll talk about that in a minute. "And shall hide a multitude of sins." So that's who James is talking about. It's talking about Christians who err from the truth and other Christians whose responsibility it is to help them to turn from that error and to turn back toward truth. So let me share with you three thoughts. Number one, it is possible for any Christian to backslide. It is possible for any Christian to get off the path that God has designed for you. It is possible for you to leave that straight and narrow way. No one is immune. No one is above it. No one can say, I'll never backslide, because it can happen to anybody. If Peter could backslide, so could you and I. If David could backslide, so could you and I. If Moses could backslide, so could you and I. If Paul could backslide, so could you and I. If other Bible characters, if other Bible heroes could backslide, and they all did, most of them did. There was a few that didn't. Enoch walked with God. I don't believe that Enoch backslide, but if you look at the life of Peter and the life of David and the life of Moses and Paul and other Bible characters, you can see that many of them at one point in their life erred from the truth. They turned from the path that God had designed for their life. And again, there's several causes for that. Some of them don't understand, and people today, some of us don't understand the requirements of discipleship. Again, Satan comes to us and he lies. Again, the Bible talks about the path of the world is broad, a broad, wide way, and the path that Jesus had for us is a narrow way. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, the Bible says, wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. And so there's many people that walk that path. And again, when people get saved and they leave that broad path and come to the narrow path, sometimes they don't understand what's required to stay on that narrow path. Again, in Matthew chapter 7, straight is the gate that leadeth unto life, and that gate is straight because there's only one. There's only one way to get eternal life, and that's, again, to come through Jesus Christ. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men other than the name of Jesus that we can be saved. John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And so straight is the gate to come to Christ. And Christ is that straight gate. Straight is the gate to come to salvation. And once you go through that gate and are saved, then there's a narrow path that Jesus wants us to walk. And again, if we don't understand that, if we don't understand the path of a Christian is narrower than the path of somebody that's not saved, if we don't understand in effect, we don't have as much freedom as a Christian. And again, I say that in quotes because I can do anything I want as a Christian. What happens is God changed my want-tos. I don't want to do the things that I used to do. And so I don't actually lose any freedom. I can do anything I want. It's just that my want to has changed. God has changed that. And again, people don't understand that the path they walk as a Christian is a lot narrower than the path they walked when they were unsaved, sometimes get off of that path and err from the way. Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verse 62, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. That's what the purpose of this path is, to make us fit for the kingdom of God. And again, it's not talking about salvation. It's talking about discipleship. God is preparing us for heaven. He wants to use us while we're here. So don't look back. Keep looking forward. Keep looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The only thing that lies behind us is death and destruction. We left that when we went through the straight gate and got on this narrow path. And so backsliding comes sometimes because we don't understand the requirements of discipleship. It's a narrow path as opposed to the broad path we walked before we got saved. Backsliding also comes sometimes because we rely on our own strength. Here's what we say. Oh, it'll never happen to me. I'm a strong Christian. My faith is grounded. And that's wonderful. I hope you are a strong Christian. I hope your faith is grounded. But when you start depending too much on your own strength, on your own will, you better be careful. Because that sounds a lot like pride. And the Bible says that pride goeth before a fall. It's so much better for us to depend on the Holy Spirit, His strength, His power to keep us on this narrow path. And again, He expects us to use our common sense. Stay out of situations where you're going to be tempted to go back to that broad path. Stay away from people that might tempt you to err from the truth and get off of that narrow path and get on the broad path. And then thirdly, and this is not my third point, this is just the third part of the first point, but thirdly, backsliding also comes because we ignore the things that God has given us. We ignore the Bible and the instructions and the help that it gives us. We ignore our family, our friends, our church family, all the things that God has put in our life to help us stay on that straight and narrow path. And again, when we ignore them, we're setting ourselves up for a fall, and we fail, and we slide back, and we err from the truth, and we get off of that narrow path. And so again, point number one, the first thing I want to share with you is that it is possible for any Christian to backslide. Again, it happened to some of the heroes in Hebrews chapter 11, some of the heroes of the faith that the writer of Hebrews included in chapter 11. It happened to some of them. It can happen to us. So, point number two. It is every Christian's duty to watch out for one another. That is part of our responsibility as members of the family of God, is to watch out for other members in that family. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 4, the Bible says, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." I'm supposed to watch my own walk, but I'm also supposed to watch your walk. I'm supposed to calculate and to figure out and to watch that I'm still on the narrow path, but I'm also supposed to watch you and make sure you're still on that narrow path. And the only way to convert somebody that has erred from the truth is to have my eyes on them and see when they err. And again, we watch each other not to criticize. Oh yeah, there are some Christians, we keep our eyes on each other so that we can be the first ones to criticize them when they fail. But that's not what these verses are talking about. We're not to watch to criticize, we're to watch to help. We're to watch to correct. We're to watch to convert, to use the word that's in this verse. You see me straying from my path, your duty is to help me. You see me getting off the straight and narrow way. Your duty is to come to me and say, hey, you're making a mistake. You've taken your eyes off the truth. You've gotten off the straight and narrow way. You need to get back on that way. Then number three, restoring a backslider is a noble part of a Christian's work. It's a great thing to see somebody get saved. It's a great thing to share the plan of salvation that everybody's a sinner, and there's a penalty for that sin, and that Jesus paid for our sin, and if we trust Him, He'll free us and save us from that penalty of sin and take us to heaven. And that's a wonderful thing. But it's also a great thing to help somebody who's strayed from the path, who's erred from the truth, to get them back on that straight and narrow way. And there in verse 20, the Bible says there's a couple things that happens. He says, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his ways shall save a soul from death. Now again, that's not spiritual death. Christians have eternal life. It's talking about the premature death of Christians. Premature in the fact that God takes a Christian before He has plan to take that Christian. The Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. If chastening doesn't work, God takes that Christian home. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the chapter that I read from when we have the Lord's Supper, it's talking about Christians that err from the truth. And it says in verse 30, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. They're dead. God's taken them home because they've erred from the truth. God has chastised them and tried to bring them back to the truth, but they've resisted and ignored that chastisement. And God says, well, look, if I can't get you back on the straight and narrow way, I'm just going to bring you home. I'm just going to bring you to heaven. Now, that shouldn't be a motivation for us to sin and endure God's chastening so we can get to heaven quicker. We ought to heed the chastening of God. We ought to heed people that he puts in our lives to help convert us and get us back to the truth and get back on that straight and narrow way. So it says, save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. When Christians sin, when Christians go back to living their old way of life, it does a great disservice to the kingdom of God. One that converts that person and gets them back on the straight and narrow way hides those sins. It protects the kingdom of God. And so again, it is a grand work to convert one that, again, at one time was on that straight and narrow path headed toward Christ, headed toward the truth, and have erred from that way. It is a grand work for another Christian to help get them back on that straight and narrow way. Anybody can backslide. We have a responsibility to watch one another. And when we see each other getting off the path, we have a responsibility to do our best to get them back on the path. We will save a soul from premature death and hide a multitude of sins. As a Christian, this is one of our responsibilities. Let's pray together. Father, again, thank you for your word. Thank you for the instruction that it gives us. I pray we'll not just be hearers of the word, but doers of the word, that we'll see this as one of the responsibilities. One of the responsibilities we have is just not to keep our eye on our own things, but on the things of others. And as we see people straying from that straight and narrow way, again, to do our best, not to criticize, but to correct and help them to get back on the path that you've designed for them to walk. Again, Father, I pray if there's somebody that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, they would see their sin, they would see what the price that Jesus paid for that sin on Calvary, and they would come to Christ and receive him and receive this gift of salvation that he offers to every person. We pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen.